track session number 14021, reel 3.
Northcote Reel 3. What do you mean by a DED?
A DED? They're diesel escort destroyers.
Same as Whittaker?
Same as Whittaker, only we called them captain class frigates. But they were DEDs. There was one, as I say, we were steam in line ahead in the swept channel. And we obviously we're told to keep in the swept channel, but for some reason this DED in front of us turned hard to starboard, and within a few seconds she was blown sky high, obviously hit a mine. So why she turned in, I don't know, but we just between ourselves we thought that she'd probably gone in to pick up survivors, because there were men about there. But that was the job of the landing craft personnel. They were going around doing that job. But anyway, that's what happened in front of us. And we went back to Portsmouth, picked up more ships to escort across to France, the various places. We went on doing that for about a week, I should think, back and forward, escorting. And we were sent back to Londonderry, I think we were. And sent out on another convoy. And during the early hours of the morning, when was that? It's November, I think. There was an explosion. I don't think it was 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere at the time. I'd come off the first watch, I know that, and I'd come off at midnight. And I would have been on the gun, B gun. But I'd been relieved at midnight, and I went down, got in my bunk. You stay fully clothed, obviously. The DEDs, being American, had bunks, pull down bunks instead of hammocks. And as I say, in the middle of the night, then there was this terrific explosion, and then another explosion, and obviously the ship shuddered something terrible. So I said, oh, here we go again. So off we trots up the ladder, up to the upper deck. And I stood on the upper deck. It was cold, and the sea didn't look very inviting. And I said, not this time. I'm staying where I am. I just had a feeling that this bit of the ship was not going to sink. Anyway, a lot of people had gone over the side, got into Carly rafts, were swimming. I gathered a few people around me and said, well, it's up to you, but I'm not going anywhere. And so they stayed. There was no order, as far as we know, given to abandon ship. There was no officers alive, as it turned out. And one of the frigates came alongside us for what long, a couple of minutes, and a lot of people managed to scramble onto her over the guardrails, and she was gone again. She couldn't stay because we were rolling around, the weather wasn't too good, and there they were. Well, eventually, this frigate took us in tow, or one of the frigates, I don't know which one. And we got to Londonderry, or the entrance to the foil, but the underhang from the damage, the bridge had been chucked over the side, the sprung steel of the upper deck had rolled back like a carpet.
Yes, you're showing me a photograph of it.
Yes, that's it. And that's a few of the men that stayed at the scene.
What was the date of this?
It's not with me, is it?
Was it soon after D-Day or a long time after D-Day?
Oh, it's a few months after D-Day. Yeah.
You've put the last date for Whittaker, 16th of February, 45. Would it have been that?
That's right, yeah. Yes, that's it.
Why was it, how was it that all the officers were killed?
They lived in the bridge structure. And the bridge structure had been thrown over the side completely. Seemed like the welding had sprung out, like, you know, because the forecastle deck rolled itself back. And the underneath part fell out, sort of thing, if you like. But the overhang, as I was saying, underneath was so bad, so long, deep, that they couldn't get us up the foil. So they got a tug, and we were then towed to Belfast. And there she remained, I think, till the end of the war. As she was leased land, we weren't allowed to sink her. We had to give her back to the Americans as it was. But I understand they scrapped it anyway. So that was another short trip, like the Bonaventure. So I thought that was getting near my end of the war. But no, I got sent out to the Far East. To Trincomalee in Ceylon, to a transit camp there, and I was there for a week or two, and I was sent for and said, right, you're joining HMS Devon City. And I thought, what can the Devon City be? Well, I haven't heard of that name in the Navy. Anyway, it turns out it was a merchant ship flying the White Ensign, and I joined her in Trincomalee Harbour, and took over the duties as coxswain of her, which entails discipline and regulating of the ship. She only had defensive armament aboard. The main job of the ship was to provide harbour installations. As the fleet moved into the harbour, we carried the light buoys, the mooring buoys, such like. These were dressed on board and passed to the bar boats who laid them, so as the fleet could come in as we took over these various places, which we'd done. Port Swetnam was one in Malaya. We'd done a big job there. We were out on Operation Zipper, which was aborted. It didn't actually come to its end, but as I say, we had to go into the harbours and get them all ready for the ships to come in. And then, of course, the war came to an end then.
Could I ask you about one thing that we hear quite a lot about nowadays, about the so-called need for counselling for people who've been in war? What do you think about that? Did you need counselling at the end of the war? Or at any time in the war?
No. No. And I don't know of anybody that did.
So why do we hear about so much about it now?
This seems to be a new thing. It suddenly cropped up. There's something called anxiety neurosis, which they say people were affected by it during the war. But Admiral Vian, is, they say, he cleared lower deck on his ship. Admiral Vian done a lot of convoy work in the Mediterranean, and he lost a couple of ships from under him, but he always went to sea again the next day, sort of thing, with another ship. And they say he cleared lower deck on his ship, and he said, if any of you complaining about anxious moments, which is anxiety neurosis, he said, I'll give you anxious moments, we'll go to sea. Now, whether that's true, but it was all around the fleet. This cropped up, it did, this anxiety neurosis.
But did you suffer any after effects from the point of view of nerves or anything of that kind, nightmares after your bad experiences in these three ships?
No, because I carried on at sea, as you know. We had a couple of a wartime session when there was trouble in Aqaba. We went up through the Straits of Aqaba in the middle of the night, darkened ship, just like wartime. But I don't know, it didn't seem to affect me or any of the other long serving men that may have been aboard.
So you never had any nightmares about him?
No. When I was in hospital, I woke up screaming. I understand the nurse was alongside me, but this is a couple of days afterwards.
After the Bonaventure?
After the Bonaventure. I'm not saying that one doesn't get anxious when you change ships and go to a new ship and go out again, knowing that you're going back out to the attacks, air attacks, submarines. One, for instance, when I joined the Kelvin, the first night we went out, we were on patrol. I was lying asleep on the deck, in the mess deck, not on watch at the time. And suddenly the alarm bells went, and the Kelvin heeled right over. Oh my God, here we go. And I rushed out onto the upper deck like everyone else, because it was action bells going. But I grabbed all the guardrails as soon as I got out, and I was just about to cock my leg over the guardrails, and a voice from the back somewhere said, where the hell do you think you're going? And sheepishly I got back inboard, crawled up the ladder to the B gun, which I was on, and never said a word to anybody and just carried on with my job. It was a submarine attack, but we never brought up a submarine.